From In the Beginning to the Musical Apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's episode I talk with Christian author Dennis Marcellino. Dennis, like most Christians, believes his deity to be perfect and loving. When a Christian claims that their deity is loving and perfect, and then turns around and tells you that he causes children to suffer just to teach someone a lesson, then their deity ceases to be loving. An empathetic, caring being would not choose to show himself through the suffering of a child. These are not the actions of a loving being. According to the Bible, the Christian deity has sent wild animals to rip children apart. He has drowned them, aborted them, and starved them to death. The life of a child means nothing to Yahweh. Daniel 4:35, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. If you believe the Bible to be the actual documented acts of Yahweh, if you believe every story in the Bible to be true and factual, and if you worship the deity it describes within its pages, then you are, to put it simplistically, worshiping a deity that has documented his own torturing and killing of children. In reality, Christians willingly and wholeheartedly worship a documented deified child killer. They want you and your children to bow down in reference to this being. They want the whole world to worship and be subservient to their child killer. Why would anyone idolize someone that kills children? Why would anyone worship such a monster? Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Today's special guest is author, Christian author, of The Proof That God Exists and the Bible is True, Dennis Marcellino. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here today. So I'm going to start you off with some Bible-related questions, and we'll just see where the conversation goes from there. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Fantastic. What is the Bible to you?
Everything.
Everything.
It's kind of like a, like an owner's and operator's manual given to us by our creator and designer as how things should run. And then we try it on, and then we see that it works, and that's what we really want.
Interesting. Okay. So as far as Yahweh goes, the 1 John 4:8 says that he's all powerful. 1 John 3:20 says he's all knowing, and Matthew 19:26 and Luke 1:37 claim that he's all powerful. Do you attribute these attributes to him, to your deity?
Yeah, it depends on what you mean by all knowing and all powerful. I mean, he's all powerful. He can do anything he wants. Mm-hmm. Not that he chooses to.
Right.
And as far as all knowing goes, he knows everything except for the future, of course.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise, we wouldn't have free will.
Okay. So he doesn't know the future.
Well, he doesn't know the future in the sense that he knows everything we're going to do. He can predict the future as to far as what he's going to do. And the Bible even says that.
Okay.
And so,
can't predict what we're going to do.
Right.
Okay. So he knows what he's going to do and what his plans are, but he has no control over what we do with what he's done, right?
Right, nor does he want to have that control.
Okay.
He wants to have a relationship with free will beings.
So could he have that control if he wanted to?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he has exercised it a couple of times. Well, not just a couple, but like with Pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
He hardened his heart.
Right.
Because
he also gave people delusions so that they would believe a lie, and then, what was it? He possessed somebody with something. Oh, I can't remember right now. But how do you get we all get free will if you know that some of us don't get free will?
No, we all have free will. It's just God can step in.
That's not very
time,
free, then. That's not very free, though. I mean, if I give my kids free will to do whatever they want, but I'm going to step in, that's not free will. That's still babysitting.
Well, it's limited will.
Limited will.
We'll put it that way. So, it's always for a good reason, though, see, when he does step in.
Ow. I don't think that, well, always for a good reason? How was Pharaoh for a good reason?
Because he wanted to show his power, you know, that he does have control over everything. And, yeah, and I don't remember totally, but I remember there is a good reason.
So he wanted to show his power. Do you think that's a good reason to harden the Pharaoh's heart and cause all of the death through the plagues?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, first of all, everybody back in those days, any days actually, doesn't really deserve to continue on if they're sinful. And so Pharaoh, you know, claiming to be God himself, well, that was a bad sin because it throws everybody off.
Okay.
Because then they're going to, yeah.
So what about the children that were sleeping in their beds during the Passover that Yahweh came and killed? What about them? They didn't do anything wrong. Why would he need to show off his power by killing children?
Well, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. One is, you know, we don't really deserve, I mean, human beings don't deserve to continue on, you know, because his plan was to have a holy world. And, you know, because of all the sin, he even wiped out the whole thing with the flood at one point.
Right.
But then the other way of looking at it is we don't, you know, you can't really know what's going to happen after they die. Maybe they're going to go to a better place and be spared this life.
Wow. So this life is terrible enough to want to just die and go to heaven?
Well, it's not as good as heaven, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to look at it from the point of view of a child. If a child doesn't get to live his life, the child doesn't get to experience life, the child just dies and goes to heaven.
Well, there's a lot of bad experiences that the child is spared, too. You know, I mean, heartbreak, being betrayed.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, but I'd rather just go through life. I'd rather go through life and get my heart broken or be betrayed. Those are just parts of life. Life is so beautiful. There's so much more to it. Just to say that God spared these children from heartache, that just sounds terrible to me.
Well, if he brings them to perfection, why is that bad? You know, if heaven's a perfect place, who wouldn't rather be there?
By that thinking, man, we should all just kill ourselves and go to heaven.
Well, if we kill ourselves, we're not going to go to heaven.
Well, why would you wear a seatbelt?
I don't.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Do you go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Well, what do you go to the doctor
I don't always
for?
Do
aren't
what
you
he
in
said.
A hurry to get to heaven?
Pardon? Say that again?
Aren't you in a hurry to get to heaven? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, this is a perfect place, but
everyone
just takes care
there's
of their
a
bodies and takes care of themselves, but yet they really want to go to heaven.
Well, no, there's a reason to you know, go through this life. And that's God's choice. He wants us to go through it because he wants us to see
God's
holiness.
He didn't want those kids to go through life, clearly.
Well, no, I mean, what if they're in a better place?
Back to that. That's okay. I don't see how that's a good thing. I don't see how that's a loving act, killing children, regardless of the reason. I don't think it's a loving act to kill children. You can't call yourself a loving being if you're going to kill children. But we'll get into that later. I just had a quick question here. I noticed on your book page here that it says that you that atheism is logically impossible, and that you believe that. Can you explain that to me?
Well, you can't go to hit every corner of the universe in order to say that atheism is true, that there's no God, if that's the definition of atheism that you're going by. You have to be able to hit every corner of the universe, every other possible universe. And so therefore, you can't really make that claim. You can't say that atheism is a viable conclusion.
Well, I can make the claim that I make is that from the proof that I've seen, the things that I've seen, the things that I've heard, studied, I can feel, touch, see, I haven't seen this God. So therefore, he doesn't exist. Until that happens, I guess you can call me an agnostic atheist. Great, there could be something out there, but I haven't seen it, so I'm an atheist in that aspect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine, sure.
Okay. So I was just curious on your logical you know, logical.
Yeah, agnostic is fine, but a declaration of atheism that there's no God, that's impossible.
Right, I do declare that as well. I declare there is no God. At this moment in time, there is no God. I have yet to see it. I have yet to see the proof for it. But I'm agnostic in the fact that there could possibly be something. There could be a great, giant, magical, invisible dinosaur that, you know, gave us all life. You don't know that either. I don't know that either.
Well, I've come up with a scientific proof that of what that God is, though.
You said you have scientific proof of what that God is?
Yeah.
What is that scientific proof? I'm not much of a scientist here, but I'm just curious.
Okay, well, let's see. I've boiled it down to, well, first of all, we can look out in the universe and we can say, okay, there is something more than humans going on, because humans are not responsible for that being there.
Right.
So we know something more is going on, but we don't, let's see how much we can analyze and get to what that something is.
I kind of lump it into nature.
Well, where did nature come from?
I don't know. And I don't know is a perfectly logical answer.
Okay, but I got a better one.
wait, your better one? You have a better one, you said, than I don't know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, because I've analyzed this and thought about this for a long time. I have a background in science, too.
Uh-huh.
And basically what it comes down to is that the originator of the physical universe is a non-physical, powerful, intelligent, eternal being. And then I prove each one of those things. And then, the next step after that is then I prove that that being authored the Bible.
So to you, it sounds more logical that an invisible, mute, magical man exists than I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it that way. But
well, not many would.
I put it the way that I said it,
Yeah, but I mean, essentially,
a non-physical, powerful, intelligent, eternal being.
Right, but it boils down to this man is illogical, or not illogical, he's invisible, he's mute, and he's got to be magical. That's what it boils down to. So,
well, he's not mute, but
well,
magical,
I haven't
yes.
heard him. Have you heard him?
Of course.
You've heard his physical voice?
Well, no.
No, exactly. No. So you haven't heard him.
Yeah,
so
well, I mean, but see, there's something within each one of us. I mean, you can call it intuition or... And there's something that we're dealing with.
It's called a conscience. It's called a Jiminy Cricket. It leads you to what's right or what's wrong. You call it Jesus. I call it Jiminy Cricket.
Well, I don't know. Why would you call it Jiminy Cricket?
Because it's a conscience, and let your conscience be your guide. And Jesus is your conscience, is he not?
Well, there's two things.
Uh-huh.
There's an inherent part of conscience,
uh-huh.
and then there's a programmed part of conscience.
Oh, wow. How does that happen?
Well, whatever we decide that we're going to, our attitudes about life and beliefs about life are going to be, mm-hmm. then that gets programmed into our subconscious. And then after that point, we just rely on it. It just automatically triggers. But we have to program it in at one point, or let others program it in.
I'm not sure how that works. I can change my programming, can I not?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the inherent part.
What do you mean, the inherent part? What's the inherent
part? Well, the part that we're born with.
What part is that?
Well, that's what people are calling intuition or, the part that just springs up within us.
Oh, my Jiminy Cricket. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I don't know what you mean by Jiminy Cricket. Go ahead.
My conscience? The conscience?
Yeah, your conscience. Well, like I said, there's two parts of the conscience.
Right. So you said it springs up. What brings this forth?
Well, it's just automatically programmed into us.
Is it the same program for everybody?
There is that part, but then there's also the personal programming that we've done.
So there is a specific program that everybody has in them?
Yes.
And what is that program?
Well, I mean, let's start before we get into the emotional part. Are you beating your heart?
Some people aren't emotional. Some people lack empathy. Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Well, that's one thing. That's a program.
Well, who programmed originally the... Okay, so somebody programmed empathy into them originally, but they overwrote that program with, something else? Is that what you're telling me?
There you go. That's right, yes.
Okay, so everybody is programmed with empathy originally. Is that what you believe?
Yes.
Okay, so where are you getting that from? Where in the Bible is that?
Well, it just automatically springs up within us. I mean, it's an observable thing. It's just not.
Oh, so there's nothing behind it. You just observed it, and this is your opinion. Gotcha.
Yeah. In other words, okay, I used to be in this band that did The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Uh-huh. And, great song.
And, what?
Great song.
Yeah, I know. And so one of the guys in the band recently died.
Oh, sorry
and
to
I
hear that.
Said, yeah, I said, so what did he die from? And they said, heart failure.
Hmm.
And it just made me reflect on the fact that we have this pumping thing inside of our chest.
Mm-hmm.
That pumps every minute, well, every second, and it can fail at some point.
True.
It's not up to us whether it's going to go or fail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's automatic. That's one automatic thing. Then there's many other automatic things like digestion, breathing, and emotions, some emotions.
Do you think we're
predisposed to some emotions, and others we have programmed. Like
do you think Yahweh
about.
Controls your emotions and controls your heartbeat?
Yes, absolutely. Well, who does? I mean, where does that come from then?
I don't know. But I don't
okay.
insert, you know, I don't insert a mute, magical, invisible man to answer that question. I say I don't know. I think that's a little more logical. I don't think there's much logic in the Bible or the Christian religion to begin with. Logic dictates that animals do not talk, dead Jewish guys stay dead, and blood magic is not a real thing. So, I mean, you're talking about logic. I'm not a big logic person, but it just seems pretty simple to me that those things aren't logical.
Well, all those things aren't true that you just said, though. Like Jewish people staying dead, that's not true. I know there are some factions of Judaism that say that, but there are other factions of Judaism that say that there is an afterlife.
Do you think that Jesus came back to life?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so then dead Jewish guys don't stay dead in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and then there's animals that talk in the Bible. Do you believe that it's talking animals?
Well, in those situations, I mean, if you can just observe that this whole planet is a miracle and everything on it is a miracle, well, then, you know, God could run that miracle any way he
wants.
Of
course. See, again, and then you have to add your mute, invisible, magical deity for talking animals to make sense. That's the only world that this would make sense in. Not the world we live in right now, but you have to add an invisible, mute, magical man in order for animals to be able to talk.
It's not a matter of adding that. It's a matter of observing that.
You cannot observe an invisible, mute, magical man.
Sure you can.
How did you observe him? Where did you see him?
Well, there's two ways.
Okay.
First of all, within our heart.
That's ridiculous. I can't see anything inside my heart.
Sure you can. You can't see that you're feeling something? You can't,
I can't
see your feelings?
I can't see that I'm feeling something. I can feel that I'm feeling something, but I can't see it. I can't physically.
Well, you're observing what you're feeling.
Okay, that's not Yahweh, though. How do you get that to Yahweh?
The Bible, for one.
Where?
I'm sorry, what?
Where? Where in the Bible?
Oh, to just the Bible itself and all the proofs. I mean, see, when Jesus first came, it's like he had to do all these miracles to prove to people. I mean, anybody could come on the planet and say, hey, you know, I represent this, and this is what the truth is, and... But Jesus did it, and he proved it by the supernatural things that he did.
I didn't see it. Did you see it?
I see it in the Bible.
Right. You see it written in words. I also see Spider-Man did some pretty awesome things, and I mean, he's got even movies. But I don't believe Spider-Man to be real.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know that that's fiction, though.
I know that the Bible is fiction because I know animals don't talk, dead Jewish guys stay dead, and blood magic is not a real thing. That's how I decipher that this book is probably not real. It's got a lot of inaccuracies in it. Do you believe it to be 100% true?
Absolutely.
What, everything in here is
true. I don't just
true.
Believe it, I prove it.
Well, you still can't prove talking animals.
Sure you can.
You can't.
Okay, here's okay. how you can. I'm going to tell you how you can.
Okay. By producing one.
Okay. Well, no.
That's a good start.
You also can't produce a worldwide flood either.
So let's go to Genesis 7. You talk about this flood as if, you know, this flood is a real thing. And you believe it to be true. It actually happened, right?
Yeah, there's many, many ancient philosophies and histories that attest to it.
Okay, so let's go back to Genesis 6:6. Do you have your Bible with you?
Yeah, I can pull it up, sure.
Awesome. Genesis 6:6. I use the NIV, so if you use something else, it's going to be a little different.
No, I'll do NIV. Sure.
The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind from whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made them.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. I mean, it's just kind of like he just observed. I mean, his whole intention was to have a very holy, loving planet.
So he's going to wipe out every infant, every fetus, every toddler, every puppy, every kitten, every insect, because some dudes did stuff he didn't like. He was grieved.
Dudes.
He regret making people. He can harden the heart of Pharaoh. He can wipe out the entire planet. He can bring his son back to life, but he can't make a couple people change their hearts?
Well, it's not a couple people. It's all people.
Right. If you start with a couple people, maybe a domino effect would happen. Maybe something. Instead of wiping everybody out, you got to wipe out all. Why can't you just do a disease that wipes out the people that are bad? There's a start.
Because it's everybody. Everybody's
no, it's
bad.
Not. It's not the toddlers. It's not the infants. It's not the puppies. It's not the kittens.
It
it's not the insects.
Yes,
that's the
is.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What were they doing that was so sinful that they aren't doing now?
Well, they're just doing sin, period. It's just like God made everything for it to be perfect.
Were the dogs eating pork? Were they wearing colors of or fabric with two clothes on it? I mean, I don't understand. How were dogs being sinful? Why did dogs deserve to be drowned in the flood?
Well, you know, first of all, it depends on how you look at dogs or animals. The Bible says that everybody, human beings and every animal, has a soul, but they don't have a spirit. Only human beings have a spirit. So, you know, if you thought that animals didn't have a soul, I mean, if you thought that animals had a spirit, how could you eat them? You know, so, I mean, do you ever eat hamburgers or anything like that? So,
I'm not drowning a dog, dude. I'm eating food. Drowning a dog is completely different. Dogs are empathetic. Dogs are loving. Dogs are loyal. Dogs are awesome.
Bite. Dogs bark.
Bark.
They're not perfect.
Right, but we don't need to drown them. We don't need to drown them.
Why not? Well, see, here's what it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, this planet is a project of a creator. And,
a loving creator, supposedly. This guy's a loving God, supposedly.
Yes, but, you know, you don't love sin. He
doesn't
love sin.
I love dogs. If there's a dog that is aggressive or evil, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't like them because they bark, and one tried to attack me the other day.
Wow.
And
I've been attacked by lots of dogs and cats and monkeys and whatnot, but I still love animals. It's really weird to me that you don't like dogs, but let's beside the point. This guy's a loving God. Why can't he – would you rather drown? Or would you rather just have your heart stop and you die immediately? Which sounds better? Which sounds more like a loving death to you? A more empathetic way to go?
Of course, the second one.
Of course. Yeah. But Yahweh chooses to drown people. He chose to drown children and, well, you don't like dogs. Is there any animals you do like?
I can't think of any now.
That's okay. Well, man, we'll get into that later. I don't know.
Well, you know, see, here's the thing about animals. I mean, animals are just moving plants.
No, they're not. They are not just moving plants, sir. They have feelings.
Of course, they act like they have feelings.
What do you mean they act like they have feelings?
No,
do you act like you have feelings?
Well, there's no spirit inside of
them. Dude, that is a ridiculous thing to say.
See, it's just like this, then you could say that that plants have feelings too. I mean, it's just everything is just going according to how it was designed.
How do you know they don't?
That plants? No, they might, but
yeah.
But see that the type of feelings we're talking about is pre-designed, and there's no
That's
no spirit inside to experience those feelings.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, back to the flood. Let's get back on the flood here. so, how do you think the fish survived the flood?
I guess they survived. I don't know.
You don't know. Is it logical that salt water mixed with fresh water would, you know, have fish survive in it? Or the fish would survive and live in there?
Well, maybe they didn't survive then, yeah.
So how do we get fish?
I don't know. Pardon?
So how do we get all the fish then?
How do we get all the fish?
Yeah, if they all died during the flood, how do we have fish now?
Well, I mean, God created them in the first place. He can recreate them.
It doesn't say that in the Bible. So how how do you think each species got back to their natural habitat? Let's take penguins, or how do they get back to Antarctica from the desert?
God put them there. I don't know about from the desert.
Well, you know, Mount Sinai is in the desert, isn't it? Or Mount Sinai, wherever the ark is supposed to be.
Ararat.
Isn't there like desert surrounding it or something?
Mount Ararat, yeah, it's in Turkey.
Yeah, so how did they get past all these mountainous areas, and then they got the deserts, and then they got all these other lands and seas they have to cross to get all the way back to Antarctica? Is it magic, or did it not happen?
Well, isn't this whole planet magic?
No, I don't believe in magic.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
No, it's not.
What?
It's not magic, man. It's just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not magic. People used to think that, you know, medicine would be magic, and science is not magic. We know that. If you had a cell phone 50 years ago, if you had a cell phone, and people would be like, wow, that's magical. No, it's not. It's just, I don't understand it, but it's science. I don't think cell phones are magic. Do you think cell phones are magic?
Well, no, but I mean, the existence of human beings and animals and plants and the planet itself, that, I mean, we could put that in the magic category. As another word for magic would be supernatural.
Right.
And another word for supernatural would be above natural.
Magic.
And of course,
impossible, yeah. Things. Yeah, things that are, you know, don't happen. So you don't know how the fish survived. You don't know how they got back there. It says that Yahweh, how many animals do you think of each species did he bring? Because in Genesis 7:7, it gives us two different accounts. That was my next question.
Go ahead. Are you going to read that, or should I look
sorry.
That up?
Oh, I can read it. I'm looking for it here. It is 7:2. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its male, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its male, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. And then later on he says, take pairs of clean animals and unclean animals of birds and of all the creatures that move along the ground. So he tells them to do two different things. We've got seven and then pairs. Do you know which ones it was? Or?
Well, no, it's seven. You know, just like the Bible says. And then there's the clean pairs. And by the way, as far as how did things propagate after the flood, well, there you go. It's all on the ark. And then
seven of each kind of animal on the ark?
Yeah.
Wow.
And some of it was for food. For the pairs.
And that's completely logical to you?
Sure, why not?
Well, because it had one window.
What do you mean one window?
It had one window, and you're telling me every animal lived on this thing for 40 days and 40 nights. It just doesn't make any sense. You know how much feces that's going to be? Do you know how many animals there's going to be in there? Insects, birds, do you think all that's in there? Do you know how many species of beetle there are alone?
Well, there are now, but not then.
Oh, what happened?
They evolved.
So Yahweh created them in the beginning and then killed them and then they evolved? Is that what happened?
No, I don't know if he created them in the beginning, but yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's very interesting. So do you believe that Yahweh loves children?
Of course.
Of course, Yahweh loves children. That's a good. Is there a Bible verse you can think of that tells you this?
Yeah, well, Jesus said, you know, be careful how you treat the children because their angels in heaven are looking down upon them. And, you know,
do you know what verse
it would be better if you were to be put a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the river than to hurt one of these little ones.
So 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scriptures God-breathed, useful for preaching, teaching, training, and righteousness. You believe the Bible to be true. You believe God loves children. You think that Jesus said, you know, be kind to the children. Why does Yahweh not follow that? Why does Yahweh in the Old Testament kill so many children? That's 2 Samuel, for instance, David's son with Bathsheba. David sinned three or four times. He got three or four sins on there, and they require death penalty, but Yahweh's going to forgive him. But because the sin David did, the enemies showed contempt to God, so God killed David's son. Now, that doesn't make any sense off the bat. But then what he does is he strikes the child with a sickness for 7 days, and then the child dies. So Yahweh goes through and makes the child suffer for 7 days. David does not get punished. The son, this innocent child, has to suffer and die because of what David did. Yahweh made that decision. That doesn't show any love to me. How is that a loving act?
Well, everybody dies.
Correct, I mean, but so not everybody has to go suffered. Not everybody has to suffer for 7 days because of an illness that Yahweh struck them with.
Well, you know, this might interest you. this other guy that I've done, he's an atheist activist in Portland area here, and I've had many debates with him. Well, he just had a brain tumor that lasted a while, and then he died young. And so, you know, God's got a purpose for all that. I mean, you know, the fact that we're even alive and that our heart is beating and that we're breathing and all that stuff is by the grace of God. We're not doing it. No other human being is doing it for us. So it's come to a point of just trying to understand, you know, well, why does God do things the way he does? And it's the suffering that you're talking about is a message to other people. I mean, obviously that person has been, you know, he was going to die. But the suffering is a warning to other people.
Wow. So Yahweh made this child suffer to warn other people? Yahweh made that man suffer with a brain tumor to warn other people?
Yes.
To warn them about what?
Well, first of all, this guy was an atheist activist.
And?
And so God was saying, don't be an atheist activist, you know.
Wow, what about the Christians that get brain tumors and die?
Well, you know, it's everybody's going to die.
What about the children that get brain tumors and dies? What's Yahweh warning us about that?
Well, everybody's going to die.
But that's not a warning then, is it?
It is a warning.
Oh, it is a warning.
It's a warning to take death seriously. You know, that it's a real... I think most people go through life, and I myself included for many years, go through life not even reflecting on death or the implications of that, and just trying to have a good time in life and do what we feel. But death is a reality, and people, you know, ignore that. They ignore that there's a God and that he has holy wishes for everybody. That's his project here and why he made the planet. So because people get complacent and distracted, he's got to bring their attention back to him and holiness and death. And so so therefore he has to create unpleasant things to get us our attention focused on death and his holy project that he's trying to do here. Which, you know, obviously, you know, he just said at one point, I'm going to do a flood, I'm going to wipe them all out, because they're all sinful, and this is a drag, and it's not what I intended. So the next thing then is he says, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. That was his covenant with the rainbow and everything. I'm not going to do that anymore and wipe everybody out. But he has to resolve the problem of free will, because the next, incarnation, which is heaven, it can't have any sin there, because that's back to his original project of having a sinless, loving world.
You can't tell me that your God is sinless and loving when you tell me that he gives children brain tumors so that he gets more attention, so that everyone will focus on him. Oh my God, dude, that's horrible. Okay, so he gives children... You know how much you suffer with a brain tumor? When animals are suffering, we put them to sleep because they're suffering. But Yahweh tortures before he kills. It's rarely quick and painless, apparently. He uses inhumane methods. Giving someone a brain tumor to teach them a lesson is inhumane. First Thessalonians 5:18.
Well, it's not to teach them a lesson.
To teach the world a lesson, which is even more disgusting. First Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Give thanks for your brain tumor because you're teaching the world about Jesus.
Well, you know, some people, first of all, I'm going to clear up one quick thing. There's a concept that there's this hell of eternal suffering, right?
There is a concept of it. It's all throughout the Bible.
No, it isn't.
Well, not all throughout, but the New Testament, it's all in there.
No, it isn't. It's like if you really do a Bible study, hell is just a place. It doesn't even exist yet, by the way, until Revelation 22. But hell is a place where it's an extinguishing of all bad things. And a permanent extinguishing. It doesn't go on suffering forever. That would not be a loving God. I would
eternal, eternal, everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. He will punish those who do not know God with everlasting destruction. That's eternal, right? That's forever.
No. Destruction means destroyed.
Okay,
it
so he's going to destroy you everlasting, forever.
Yeah, it has everlasting you know, let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, yeah, it's everlasting that it can't be reversed. And so, you know, that's more loving right there. You know, if God determined that some people are not, you know, worthy of his heaven or not going to be good citizens in his heaven,
Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magical arts, idolaters, all the liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
Yeah, and that's so, that was Megiddo, which was the dumps outside of Jerusalem.
It doesn't say Megiddo.
Armageddon, that's right. It's the dumps outside of Jerusalem. And it was just a fire. It was an ever-burning fire.
So what do you think happens?
Threw their garbage into.
So what do you think happens? Huh? What do you think happens to us when us atheists, us non-believers? Where do we go? What happens?
Out of existence.
Just poof.
Destruction. Just you said it. And there's many.
Everlasting. It's going to last forever. You're going to be destroyed forever. I don't know, man.
Well,
it just depends on your interpretation.
The implications of it?
It just depends on your interpretation and your opinion about what those words
mean. Well, there are a lot of verses. So if you look at all the verses about that, then you'll see that, there's one solid conclusion. Yeah. And that conclusion is
there's a lot of contradicting things about hell, I think. I'll have to get back into it on that one. I'm not real fresh on it. It's been a while since I've updated myself on hell. But it's very interesting. But do you believe that he kills these children with tumors to get attention for himself?
It's for the good purposes for other people to say, look, this is serious. You know, God is serious about this.
God is serious about this. He's even going to kill a child.
Yes. I mean, a child's going to die anyway at some point.
So let's make it suffer with a brain tumor so we can teach somebody about death. Why not?
Well, sure, but that's how serious it is.
That's ridiculous, man. Hosea 9, he starves children to death. He aborts fetuses, and he says, I will slay your cherished offspring. Why? Because they worshipped a different deity.
Right.
Is that a good reason to starve a child to death? Is that a good reason to starve a child to death? Is that a good reason to abort fetuses?
Yes.
Wow. Why?
Look at it this way. What if you were to start a band and you know the object of the band is to create a CD and do concerts, and of course that takes work. You know, now what if somebody in the band just wasn't into it? They didn't show up for rehearsal, or they did a bad job, and they didn't rehearse their parts. Wouldn't you be justified to kick them out of the band?
Holy cow! Yeah, but I wouldn't starve their children to death. That's completely different, man. You can't even correlate the two. It's not even close.
Yes. Well, sure. You know. That it's such a heavy thing to do that, because God is saying, look, I'm not getting your attention any other way. People just say, oh yeah, people die, let's do a little ceremony about their over their grave or whatever, you know, but then they just go on living their sinful lives.
What would be better, God coming down and saying, hello, my name is Yahweh, or God saying, you're not listening to me. I'm going to starve your children to death.
Well, see, the thing is that you have to see this as a progression.
A
God did
act.
Come down. He did come down.
I haven't seen him. They didn't see him.
Yes, they did.
It does not say that.
The Jews, when they traveled first of all the miracles with Pharaoh and stuff, and then the Jews traveled
from... Those are not miracles. Those are death and destruction and genocide. When you go and you kill every child, every firstborn child in its sleep, that's a genocide.
But look at the
It's not
the
a
context.
Miracle, man. That's disgusting. And then he drowned all the horses at the end.
The context is that the Jews were enslaved for 400 years. Would you rather be enslaved?
Why were they enslaved for 400 years? What's Yahweh doing up there? Why is he taking
so long? No, it wasn't him. It was Pharaoh.
Oh, Pharaoh was more powerful than Yahweh. Pharaoh was stopping Yahweh from saving his people.
Well, God gave Pharaoh free will, and he gave the
Egyptians
free will.
He did not give Pharaoh free will. He hardened his heart five times, and then he
slaughtered
his son, and then he drowned him and all of his army and all of his horses.
Well, yeah, finally that happened.
Finally,
but 400
years later, Yahweh steps in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why 400 years, man?
Well,
it's not that serious if it takes him 400 years to get to it. Right? I mean, if it takes me 4 years to get to that trash pile over there, it's not that serious.
Well, if it wasn't 400 years, people don't take things seriously. That's serious.
Wait, that's not serious, dude. You can't tell me it's serious if it takes 400 years to do.
Well, you know, if you look at it in context, look at the flood. He wiped everybody out. Okay, so at least he let this go for 400 years. And so that's, but still, you know, the Jews on the way back to Israel.
Cow. At least he
you
let
know,
it go
they,
for...
they still made golden calves, and they still did all kinds of orgies and stuff. They still didn't get it, even after 400 years and being saved by God, you know, and destroying Pharaoh's army. See, God is very patient, but, you know, it's just people are very disobedient.
Right, yeah, just not listening. So it says in Psalm 121:7 that the Lord will keep you from all harm. Do you believe this to be true?
Say that again. Where's that at again?
Psalm 121, verse 7 states Lord will keep you from all harm.
Well, if you're doing the right thing, if you're being, you know, if you're being with him and if you're being holy, yes. Yes, as a matter of fact.
So do you think there's an age limit on that?
And are you talking about kids again, or
yes, children? Are children susceptible to that? Do they have to be 18, or how's that work?
It just says it doesn't say any age thing in there, does it?
It doesn't say any age at all. It just says the Lord will keep you from all harm, and clearly that doesn't happen.
Well, not for everybody, no, but for people who are subject to him and who have given themselves to him.
There's nobody. There's absolutely nobody on the planet Earth who has been kept from all harm for their entire life. That I can pretty much guarantee you.
Well, yeah, no. The thing is, though, is when Romans 8:28 says, all things happen for good for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, yeah, if there's some sin that pops up in a person's life, even a Christian or somebody who's given to him, well, then God's got to, work with that person. He's got to use harshness to get them to do the right thing.
Why does
see
he have
the
to,
seriousness of what they're doing.
Why does he have to use harshness? When I talk to my kids, I don't have to use harshness. I can just explain things to them. We're simple human
beings.
Are your kids
perfect?
No, neither are we. And neither is
Yahweh. So therefore he's got to use correction. You know, just like you may have to use correction with your kids or whatever. To get them to see the seriousness.
Right, but when I show my kids the seriousness of what they're doing, I don't kill something. I don't torture something. I don't require bloodshed or such a harsh punishment as Yahweh does. Why does he need such a harsh punishment?
Well, you said keep you from all harm is the verse that you were talking about. And that's pretty extreme what you just said. All harm could just be a feeling of guilt, you know, which is painful.
That's not what it says at all. It says all harm. All harm. Physical, mental, all harm.
It says physical, mental, and everything.
I put all that under the all category. You know, when it says all harm,
right,
that goes under right. the all. You know, that's typically what I do. I don't know. I don't know about you. But...
So yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So he doesn't do that.
The fact that there is harm, there's an explanation for it.
There is harm. There's also evil. And in Isaiah 45:7, it says that Yahweh created evil. Do you think this is true?
Well, that word, though, that Hebrew word is really calamity.
Great. He creates calamity. Do you think calamity is a good thing?
Yes, of course.
Do you think...
Once again, you have to see it from his perspective.
Right. I don't see it from his perspective, obviously, because I think drowning children, starving children, and making them suffer with diseases is a terrible thing. Yahweh, on the other hand, finds it a great idea.
What if those children grow up to break hearts and to be crying?
There's a what if, man. That's a big what if. What if my kids turn up to be criminals? Should I start killing them now? That's a big what if. I don't know.
That's not your place. That's not your place.
That's not Yahweh's place either. Everybody has free will. Stop stepping in and killing children.
Yeah, but the thing is that everybody is temporary on the planet. Mm. See? So it doesn't matter when and how.
Do you think there's free will in heaven?
Yes.
So.
Well, I'd say yes with a possible of something else. And that is, I think that when we go to heaven, mm-hmm. I think we've seen the bad on earth that can happen, and then we say no, we don't want the free will anymore, or we want limited free will. We have limited free will now, by the way, anyway, but we are willing to give the energy that comes up within us to sin, and we'll say, we see how bad sin is, we want to be a part of your perfect heaven, take away the our strength to be able to sin. And that's free will. We've decided that. So I mean, that's not in the Bible, by the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a conclusion that I've kind of come to.
So this calamity that Yahweh has created, do you think that's sin, or do you think man created sin?
Man created sin, of course.
Man created sin. So when Yahweh was Yahweh trying to wipe out sin or evil when he did the flood?
Yeah.
Which one? Sin or both? Sin and evil? He was trying to wipe them out?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, sin is evil.
Okay. Why did he fail to wipe it out?
You mean, why did he spare Noah and his family?
No. Why did he fail to wipe out the evil/sin that he was trying to wipe out with this flood? What was the whole purpose if he didn't even wipe out the sin or evil he was trying to wipe out?
Well, he wanted to start over and see. It's a progression, I mean, as far as like... For instance, Jews. This was an experiment on his part to give him a holy set of rules, and let's see if we can get to the perfect thing that he tried to create in the first place as his project. And so he says, okay, let's see, I'll give you 613 rules through Moses, the Mosaic Law. And then every time you... break one of the rules, then you have to sacrifice something that's important to you.
Why?
So that was what?
Why? Why does God need you to kill something?
Because, then you won't do it again.
That's terrible. That is so bad, man. Oh, you don't love dogs. So it's like sacrificing a dog. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did this wrong. I'm going to kill my dog to you. That doesn't make any sense. How about flowers? Why don't you bring me some flowers or some crops even? Why does it have to be bloodshed? Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Why does Yahweh require bloodshed and blood magic in order to accept your apology?
Because it's painful. It's painful and you get the point.
You don't die. You don't shed your blood. That animal dies. That animal suffers.
But
that
hurt.
Child
well,
suffers.
All animals die, like I said, if you eat meat. You're as...
This animal was sacrificed to appease an angry God, not to be eaten.
No, that's right.
No.
It's a painful loss to the person who's sinning, and then they have to lose something that was important to them.
Right.
So
my
then
volcano
they get the
message. Deity is mad at me, so I'm going to sacrifice a virgin to it. How is this different?
No, wait. Wait, say that again.
I said my volcano deity is angry, so I'm going to sacrifice a virgin to it, so it won't blow up and kill me.
That deity is
just
a demon,
like Yahweh.
No. No, he's got a good purpose. the demon.
No, he does not have a good purpose. Slaughtering children, starving children, drowning the planet is not a good purpose.
It is. It
that
is. If your if your purpose is to have a project of a loving, holy society,
then I don't drown and kill people if it's loving and holy. Why would I kill
people?
No.
No, that's just to show the seriousness of not being loving and holy.
I don't have to kill people to show that I'm serious. Why does Yahweh?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No,
yes,
I do not. I can go into that house right now and tell everybody that I'm completely serious, and they'll believe me. I don't have to kill a dog. I don't have to kill a sheep or a child. None of that, man. That doesn't make any sense. He's an all-powerful, all-loving deity, but he needs bloodshed. That is not loving. Bloodshed is not loving, man.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
But it's I'll tell you, it's loving in this sense that the ultimate thing is to create a sinless, loving world, you know, and whatever goes against
then
that.
Why not do that to begin with?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Then why not create a loving, sinless world like heaven on earth?
Because
he
gave people free will.
But he doesn't give people free will in heaven?
Who knows? I mean, all I know is that there's no sin there.
Good question.
I mean,
who
first
knows,
of all,
man?
There was with some of the... I'm sorry, say it again?
I say, yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? Good question.
Well, I know that it's holy and perfect. Heaven is.
Yeah. How do you
and
know that?
So however
you,
he gets...
How do you know
the,
that?
However he tames the free will of people to get them there and to be good citizens there, that's up to question. Mm. And I have some theories about that, but I know that that's what happens. That's like Earth 2.0. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there will be another Earth. You know, he's going to wipe out this Earth, wipe out the current heavens, and then there'll be Earth 2.0.
Well, it's going to be
the new heavens.
Yeah, he's going to bring his magic golden city down on Earth, his new Jerusalem. It's going to be gates and walls, and you're all going to have Yahweh on your forehead and doing his bidding every minute, every second. Oh, and there's going to be no
and
night.
Loving it. And loving it.
I don't know how you're going to be loving that, man. He's going to have to change your mind and make you love it, because day after day after day after day, because there's no night. He is the sun up there. There's no night.
Right.
You don't get to see the stars. You never get to watch another
sunset.
I don't
like sleeping. It's a waste
Who
of
said
time.
Sleeping? Who said sleeping? You can't enjoy the night. I love the nighttime, man. I love the stars, the quiet, the moon. You don't get any of that in heaven. Not a one. Not another sunset.
Whatever it's going to be beautiful and wonderful and perfect, and we're going to love it.
It's going to be full of pearls and gold and over-extravagant. That's what it says, man. That's what it says. It doesn't sound like any fun to me. But as long as you're going to enjoy it. So are you looking forward to this? You said you're looking forward to this. We had discussed
Absolutely, that. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what do you think is going to happen during the apocalypse?
Just what the Bible says, you know, all evil is going to be destroyed. That's the end game.
And atheists, non-believers, evil?
Right. I think he works within everybody's life, though, at one point, to get them to turn to him.
How do you
know
that?
He says, because in the Bible it says that God, wishes that everybody would be saved. And so if that's his wish... Then he's got to make some kind of a way for that to happen.
Well, he says in 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 that he will punish those who do not know God. So already that tells you he didn't get to everybody. Some people already don't know him.
Well, wait a minute. When you say punish, though, now you're getting to the point of where you're realizing that the evil, quote-unquote, calamity is good just to get people's attention.
No. Not at all. I don't admit that whatsoever, dude. No, not even close. I think that's a terrible thing. I think that's a terrible way to go about things. I think that's a ridiculous way to go about things, especially if you're all-powerful or loving. What's worse?
Well, what's worse? It would be worse to experience some calamity now and turn our attention to God, or to die and be extinguished?
What's worse? Having to go through calamity, or God coming down and saying, "Hi, I'm Yahweh. Nice to meet you. Thanks
He's
for believing in me because I'm
He's
real."
Done that
he has not
work.
Done that. I have never
yes,
seen
he
it.
Has.
Have you
he
seen
did it?
He
did it with the Shekinah glory, where he just the cloud hung over the Jews as they traveled from Egypt to Israel.
Fantastic. Were you there for that?
No, of course not.
Neither was I. So I have not seen it. You have not seen it. It would be great nowadays with all of our technology and our global connections. We could just take a picture and or video, and he would be all over. He knows this, but he chooses not to show himself. He chooses to give kids cancer to show himself that way.
Well, when he showed himself before, though, a number of times in the Bible, people still ignored
him. You don't
know
that.
They said, oh, there's God, you know, no big deal.
Spider-Man showed himself in New York City. My comic book said so. And my movie said so. That doesn't make it true, man. Just because this book says that it happened, you didn't see it. You didn't smell it, taste it, feel it, none of that, man.
No, but
you believe this book wholeheartedly.
There are things that I have seen and felt.
Such as what?
And analyzed. And analyzed.
What is the thing that has convinced you?
First of all, I have a science background, and so I just don't believe anything. I don't believe anything. And so what I had to prove. I had to prove that the Bible is a perfect book and that everything in it is true. I had to prove that, and I did prove it scientifically. So otherwise, I wouldn't have accepted it.
What
you got to remember, I was, I've gone through my changes to get to this point.
Right.
What
is the big thing? What is the big thing that convinced you? Is it a feeling? Is it, it can't be the logic. It can't be the logic, man. We discussed
this.
It is
logic.
There
is
no such thing as talking animals and dead Jewish guys coming back from the dead. That does not exist.
How do you know that?
Because it hasn't happened.
It did happen. The Bible says it did happen.
You know what? If a spider bites me and is radioactive, I'm going to turn into Spider-Man because that book told me so. Does that make sense? Does that make it logical? No,
it
does not make it logical. It does, too. There is proof. There's a movie. There's lots of movies.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
And there's books.
Okay,
I have lots of books of comics with it. I'm telling you, man, it's a real thing.
Okay, but the thing is that the way to approach the Bible is, you know, is there anything in it that can actually be proven in the present to be not true? You're saying it's not being able to be proven to be true.
Animals don't talk.
Right.
That's proven to be not true.
But it can't be proven that that didn't happen. You can't prove that that didn't happen.
And you can't prove that my magical invisible dinosaur did not create the world. Her magical arms waved in the air, and here we all are.
You can't prove that that happened.
Neither can you.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. You cannot prove that my magical invisible dinosaur did it. Prove it. Prove it. Show me. Prove it.
Well, I already did. I proved that God existed as the originator of the universe, as the non-physical, powerful, intelligent, eternal being.
You're just insane.
So I proved that scientifically.
It's not scientific, dude.
Yes. I prove all that scientifically. Now, as far as the Bible goes, can anything in the Bible be proven to not be true? There's things you can say, okay, you can't prove the animals talk and blah, blah, blah. But can anything be proven to not be true? No. And can everything that is provable be proven to be true? The answer is yes.
Same with
Spider-Man.
So
therefore, the mathematical probability is that the entire Bible is true.
Same with Spider-Man. Radioactive. There's spiders.
There's no proof of
that. There's newspapers. There's cabs. All that things exist. The only thing that doesn't exist is the magical part, the part where the radioactive spider bites him and he can do spider things. That's the magical part. There's truth in Spider-Man. There is people. There's spiders. There's radioactivity. And there's a whole city called New York. These are true things. Just like
the
Bible.
But none of
there's
that
Israelites.
The way it says it is not provable. There's nobody who's been bitten by the radioactive spider who's turned into these magical powers.
There's no magical being up there giving children brain cancer.
Well, you have to see the good point in that, you know.
There's no
good
point
in that.
There is absolutely no, and that really
Well, there is,
upset,
and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I look at. Let's look at you, for example. You're an atheist. You know, you're an atheist activist, and God's not happy about that. You know, so what's he going to do? How's he going to get your attention? If he loves you and he wants you in heaven, how's he going to get your attention? He's got to do something
coming
drastic
down and
in
saying
your life.
Hello. No, he can come down and say hi. That's a really awesome idea.
He did that and it didn't work.
He did not do that to
he
me,
did.
Sir.
He did it with the Jews.
I am not Jewish.
Well, what
I was
Chicago...
not there. You were not there. He has not done it to us. It is written in a book. Spider-Man appeared
done
to
it
people
to me.
In New York.
He's done it to me.
God, what? He appeared to you?
Yes, in my heart.
It doesn't make sense. You can't see things in your heart. That doesn't make any sense, sir.
Yes, you can. You just observe what's going on in there. But then psychology doesn't even exist by what you just said.
My Jiminy Cricket is the one that leads me. Prove me wrong. All right, one last question for you. Where do you think God comes from?
Okay, well, okay, so every something comes from something.
So that
means that there always had to be an existing something.
Well, who made that existing something then?
Okay, well, that's just something we have to accept, that there is an eternal... Wait a minute, hold on.
Okay.
That there's an eternally existing something.
Right.
You know, and so therefore that begs the question, well, can things exist that we can't be aware of? Well, can trees understand comedy? No. Can paramecians understand romance? No. But yet these things exist. Can a blind person who's been blind from birth understand color? No. Yet all those things that I said do, in fact, exist. Therefore, there are things that can exist that we can't be aware of.
So are you saying that something created God?
No, I'm saying that there had to be an internally existing something, and that something is God. Without an uncreated being.
But you can't start with everything needs a creator and then tell me at the end that the creator doesn't need a creator.
Right. Yeah, I can't tell you that because it's the only logical possibility.
It's not logical to believe in magical beings to start with.
Well, no. Everything is magic.
No.
I mean,
now you're changing words.
Think about this. Inside of a woman... this little cell turns into a baby. Isn't that magical?
It's scientific. We can prove it. It's not magical. Maybe back in the day they thought it was magical because they didn't understand how the whole thing worked, but we can actually see how it works. We know the process now.
Well, that's
science.
True for everything.
We erase the magic with science once we look into it and understand.
Well,
the understanding replaces the magic.
Well, that's true, and I agree with that. But the thing is that I do understand everything about this, that it is scientific.
Okay.
You know, but to a person, like you said, from the past, would look at miracle of birth.
Right.
You know, well, the people in the present look at the miracle of existence. You know.
Right. And eventually, maybe we'll solve it one day. Just because we don't know it now doesn't mean we should insert invisible magical beings. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I have solved it. I have solved it.
Right, with your invisible magical being.
No. it's more complicated than that. It's more scientific than that.
Okay.
That's why I say the non-physical, powerful, intelligent, eternal being is the originator of the physical universe.
Well, we'll have to get into that within your book. We'll have to see if the listeners pick it up. What was that called again, and where can they find it?
At www.conclusiveproofofgod.com.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time and your answers today. This has been a lot of fun.
Ditto.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever met anybody that doesn't like dogs.
Well, it's not dogs I don't like. If it was my dog, then it would be okay. Well, I don't even like that. I don't like things jumping on my lap and licking me and all that stuff. If it's a woman, that's okay.
Well, that's a little much. Totally understandable, though. All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you later, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's all the podcast there is for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show and want to help keep the recording light on, then stop by the Patreon page today at patreon.com/BSWthePodcast and sign up to be a supporter of the show for as little as a dollar an episode. Patrons will get access to patron-only content such as bloopers and unaired clips. As always, you can find us at the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. Please send all of your questions or hate mail to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or a comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them? Good afternoon. Is this Dennis?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. This is Mike Wiseman with The Bible Says What. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. So you ready for this?
I sure am.
Awesome. All right. So I'll give you a brief introduction and then we'll go from there. Sound cool?
Sounds good.
Fantastic. All right. Our special guest today is Dennis Mosserly. Oh, I screwed that up right off the bat. Let's start that over.